So, how many of you guys are busy? Anybody busy? You guys got lots of time on your hands to hang out? Well, busyness is very in our world today, that's for sure. So we're going to jump back into Matthew. We're not going to deviate. I'm going to end the chapter 24, which we jumped in and went through 31 last week, and now we're going to pick it up in 32 and go through the end of chapter 24. And we talked about last week, ready or not, here he comes. He's given us all the information we need to understand that he is returning. In fact, he correlated it back to the days of Noah, and he used that time very clearly so that we could read scripture and understand. Because, you know, we've read the story of Noah and the ark clear back from when we were kids, right? You guys remember that story? Remember the flood and the animals coming in two by two? And I think God made it very, very interesting when he put that together, because that's a future event, you know. We can correlate back because we know that happened. Now, I know there's a lot of people that can try to refute that, but I mean, when I go to the Grand Canyon and look off into that hole, the first thing I think of is, wow, there was a lot of water go through there. Now, I don't know about you, but it's pretty evident to me when you look, and you can say, well, you know, that little river's been trickling through that thing for 6 billion years, and it created this monster crevice in the ground. Well, I don't believe that. In fact, I can tell you when Mount St. Helens blew up, you know, a lot of these guys that come up with their theory went and looked at that and seen how quickly erosion happens and how quickly things happen in just a couple days and what it does. It's pretty significant. And then we can look at scripture, and we can see through scripture that historically the Bible has been over and over again seen that it's true. It's true. In fact, even the walls of Jericho, they found out recently. Remember when Joshua talked about the story of Jericho, when they went around the Jericho walls 7 times, and they hollered and the walls fell out, right? Fell down and out. In fact, they went and found the historical evidence that in Jericho, the spoil was still there. And the archaeologists couldn't figure that out, because every other city that they'd found, archaeological digs that they found and they dug up, they found that the spoil was not there. It was gone, except for some reason Jericho. Well, if you read scripture, you're going to find out that the Bible was very clear that God told them, you can't have that spoil, it's mine. The first fruits principle, right? And so I can answer that question for the archaeologists, because I've read the Bible. And if they would read the Bible, they could answer that question. They'd know that God said they couldn't have it. That's why it's there. And it's still there to this day. Interesting how it has preserved itself for all these thousands of years, 2,000 years ago, that happened, 2,000 plus years, but that happened, and still the stuff is there for proof for us to see that God's word is right. They haven't found the Ark of the Covenant. Does everybody know that? It's never been found. There's all kinds of theory about where the Ark of the Covenant might be, under in the bottom of Golgotha and all that stuff, and they've hid it, and it's not there. You know, the Ark of the Covenant has the Ten Commandments in it, and the staff of Moses, and those things. In fact, it has the manna. Supposedly, the manna was there and all that. And so, well, it just disappeared. It's not there. Well, if you read Revelation chapter 19, you're going to find out that it's not here on planet Earth, that God took it to heaven. And when he returns, it will come, because it's judgment, used the judgment on Earth. In fact, the things that in Revelation talks about when the seals are broken and the bowls are emptied, that is part of the judgment on Earth, on mankind, for what they've done. And so we can go back, we can look at these things in historical facts, and we can read the Bible today and clarify what's going on and what we can look forward to. And when we look at chapter 24, it's evident here that Jesus is making some statements that we need to be very attentive to and watch and look and listen, because he's telling some very interesting stuff in words for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see can see this. Now, not just everybody can look at this and decipher what is Jesus talking about. You have to be a scholar. You have to understand what he's saying. Those who understand can see it. And so I'm going to clarify some things a little bit to you about what's going on. Today I've entitled this message, Get Into the Ark. Get Into the Ark. Now, when we look at the Old Testament story of the Ark, it's very clear that God spoke very clearly to the people in those days to get in safety, get into the ark, save yourself. And Noah's building this ark, and you know what he got? He got a bunch of mocking and people telling him he's crazy. As believers today, we will get the same thing. When we say judgment will come upon planet Earth, they're going to go, no, God's not going to pour judgment. Where is that God that you've been talking about and that everybody's been talking about for thousands of years is going to come? He's not there and he's not coming. And I've heard that myself. Have you? You heard people say that? They say, yeah, you Christians, you've been saying that for thousands of years and he still hasn't showed up yet. So where's your proof? Right? Nothing happens when you die. You just die and it's all over. So live your life the way you want. Party. Do what you would do, you know, do what thou wilt. Have fun. Enjoy yourself, because you're going to die and that's all there is. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says very clearly that we have a life to live. He's created each one of us for a purpose and a plan, and we are supposed to follow that plan and pay attention to him and have a personal relationship with him. And so we're going to jump into to chapter 24, verse 32. Get into the ark. First of all, I just want us to allow the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts right now. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come into this house, this building, on a day like today, and climb into your word and allow your Holy Spirit to illuminate truth to our hearts and our minds. And so I pray, God, that everyone in this room, sound of my voice, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would open their hearts and minds to see and to hear the truth of your word. And God, that we would understand what it is you're saying and we'd follow truly what you've said and be put feet to what you're asking of us. And Lord, I ask, God, that each one of us today from this message would be sure to be on the ark, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, learn the parable from the fig tree, verse 32. And when its branches has already become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Now, we're kind of right there right now. You see everything blooming. You know, just a little while ago, there wasn't any leaves on the trees. We were driving back on Jasper Road and looking at the trees, and they were just bare. And overnight, it's like, boom, all the leaves popped out. Just happens very quickly. And so, and when you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize what is near right at the door. So remember what we talked about last week? If you guys were here, how many of you guys were here last week? If you weren't here, then you're going to have to catch up. Last week, we talked about the things that were happening or the things that were going to happen. And so he talked about wars and famines, rumors of wars. He talked about lawlessness, talked about increased lawlessness. And we're not talking about law enforcers. We're talking about law writers, that increased lawlessness, even in leadership. And so, and then we looked at children being disobedient to parents. And Jesus is saying very clearly, look, when you see these things, and he said, so too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. So are we seeing these things or not? I mean, honestly, are we seeing him or not? Have we seen World War I, World War II, all these political police actions that are going on? The threat of nuclear war is upon us. The threat of Israel being nuked like any day now. We're looking at all these signs at our right before us. We're watching it happen. And he's saying, when you, this generation, sees these things take place. Now we look at 48. Remember I talked about that, where the Bible, the scripture talks about the Jews coming back and Israel being a nation, right? And so that has all taken place, and we have seen it. We can look at history. We can see that it happened. The Jews have come back to their homeland. They're preparing for the rebuilding of the temple. They're preparing for the sacrifices once again. The Old Testament says it talked about them rebuilding the temple and the sacrifices happening once again. And Jesus, remember what he said? He said, look, he was the ultimate sacrifice. That doesn't need to happen. But the Jews haven't grabbed a hold of that yet. So they're going to try to say that the Messiah is coming. We're preparing for the Messiah. We have to get our lives right, build the temple, and start these sacrifices again, once again, and get our nation back in place. And the Lord said, when that happens, know this, that the time is at hand, right? Because remember the abomination of desolation we talked about last week, that when he rises up and calls himself God in that temple, he will say, I am God. And the Bible said, don't believe that, because Jesus said he'll come how? Not in a temple. He said he'll come just the way he left, in the clouds. And every eye will see it. Everybody will know it. It's not going to be a secret. And so he says this in 33, so you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Now, we don't know what day or hour that's going to happen, do we? But he's given us the sign of the fig tree. He says, when you see these signs, watch. Keep your eyes open. Pay attention, because things will happen very quickly. It'll unfold very quickly. It's like birth pains. Remember, he said it's like birth pangs as a woman when she's pregnant and she's about to have a child. They increase. So we're going to watch. We're going to see in our history, in our time, our lifetime, we're going to watch these birth pangs, these things that are going on, we're going to watch them increase. These earthquakes in diverse places, the Bible says, you'll watch that happen. It's going to get more severe, more often in places that weren't earthquakes before, like here in Lowell maybe. How many times have you guys remember an earthquake happening here? Ever? Could happen. Could happen right here. Why? Because it's a place that's never happened before. Well, that'd scare the snot out of people, wouldn't it? What happened if you wake up tomorrow morning and an earthquake happens and all these dams break loose and turn loose water? You better know how to swim. You better be on the ark, right? And so he says, watch. And in 34, it says, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Now, there's all kinds of people, you know, saying different things about what generation this is. What generation is Jesus talking about? Well, very clearly, the generation that sees these things take place. And in history before, we've never been in history see the technology that we have right now for things to happen the way that they can happen. Before nuclear weapons, nobody had an understanding of destruction the way we have now. Nobody understood that. We understand it now. I mean, we could have total annihilation in just a few nukes. Nobody wins, right? Nobody wins. Everybody reaps the downfall or the outfall of that. But we know it now. We understand it. Nuclear warfare is about us. Crazy things can happen. Listen, you let a nation like Iran have nukes and watch and see what happens. They don't have no problem turning one of them loose. None whatsoever. They do not care. They want to annihilate the infidels. And, of course, that's us, United States and Israel. Yeah. So we're at those days. We're seeing it. We're that generation, that whether you want to believe it or not, that's seeing these things. We're watching them. You can stick your head in the dirt if you want. But my advice to you is to pull your head out and take a look. I mean, how much have you guys been listening to the things that are going on? How many of you guys are watching? Or are you just letting time go by? Come what may, okay, sarah, sarah. Life is going to happen. It's going to go whatever. Whatever I do, it doesn't matter. Well, listen, you aren't going to stop Jesus coming, right? You're not going to stop that. But your job and my job is to be aware of certainly the days that we live in. In fact, the Bible talks about, know the times that you are alive. Know in these times that you're living. Know what's going on around you. Understand the days that you're living. Because when that does happen, what are you going to do? who are you going to look to? Where's your understanding then? Or who are you going to blame for it? Right? Who's to blame for all of this? Well, you certainly need to understand all this now, that it's going to happen, and the only person to blame, right, is the enemy, because he's the one that's talking to these people about doing these things. And listen, we all have to understand who we're listening to. Who are you listening to? And there is a process in that. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Now, how many Christian people who stood up and said, this is the day that Jesus is going to return? All I can say is if they're a prophet, they need to go back and read the Bible. Because them, the prophets, most of all, should understand they're not going to know when the day or hour is, but they can see what? The season. Right? We can see the season. And you don't have to be a prophet to see it. All you have to do is understand the word and have your eyes open and look and see what the days that we're living in. So the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. And I alluded to this earlier. For as in those days before the flood, they all were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Excuse me. So what was Noah doing during that time when God said, this is going to happen? You can be sure it's going to happen. What was Noah doing? He was busy. He was preparing. He was getting ready. And he was in this word today is telling us the same thing. It's the same word. It's the understanding to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, we're supposed to prepare. So are we supposed to just sit and wait for it all to happen? No, you're supposed to prepare. Be ready. Why? Because you're going to help somebody. If not just yourself, you'll be helping others. Right? It's not just me and you and no one else. You know, it's what how you see things in the element of what can I do to help God's people or those that need to know God. So he was preparing. And what were the people telling him? You nutcase. You whack. What's the matter with you? You're out of your mind. Well, what have they been telling Christians for a long time? You nutcase. That stuff's not true. But it is. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. I want to back up and read, or move forward, and read Hebrews 11:7, just for fun. Can we do that? Because the correlation of the ark in Noah's day, the safety, the safe place that God had prepared for people, for his people, the safe place that God prepared for his people, we see now, who is our ark? Has anybody figured that out yet? Where is our ark at? What ark do we need to be on? Jesus. He is our ark. So let's look at it. Hebrews, let's look at 11:7. And it says here, by faith, where is your faith? By faith, Noah, being warned by God about these things not yet seen, being warned by God, this word is God's word, and he's warning us, is he not? He's teaching us. He's warning us. And Noah, in those days, they didn't have the Bible, right? The Bible hadn't been written yet. And so by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Now, as you, as a believer, if you're condemning the world, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get some rebut. If you're saying the world is not where you need to be, don't get caught up in the things of the world. Get caught up in the things that God's teaching. And there's a difference. You can be caught up in the world and all of its stuff, or you can know who you are and listen to the Lord and get caught up in your relationship with God and Jesus. Because if salvation, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're on the ark. Your salvation comes through Jesus Christ. As in Noah's day, the salvation then was the ark. If you want to be saved, you had to get on that boat. If you want to be saved today, you have to accept Christ as your Savior. Not only do you have to accept Christ as your Savior, but you then have that's the beginning. Then you have to learn about what he wants you to do then. If you just know Jesus is my Savior, I'm all good. That's good. That's a start. But then what? You have to prepare. And how do you do that? Read his word, get his understanding, and follow what he says. Day by day, live your life. It says, by faith, Noah being warned, and we're being warned. I want to recap. And by God speaking to us, and it's things that haven't happened yet, right? Hasn't happened, but it's going to. That's the cool thing about us as believers. It hasn't happened, but we've been told. Now, the question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? And what timeline are we in? How much time do we have? When is this, these things are going to happen? We're no different than the disciples. We're asking the Lord, when are these things going to happen? And he said this. He says, no man knows the day or the hour, but you can look at the fig tree. You can see that in the spring, when the summer is near, the leaves are coming out. So in history, you can stop and look at history and you can think for yourselves and you can watch what's going on. And here's the thing. Don't just listen to me. Turn on any radio station you want and listen to what the Christian world is talking about. Everywhere. It's not just me. Remember Y2K when that happened? I was listening to the radio. I was listening to hear some prophecy about what's going on in the Christian world. Where are the Christian people? What are the people who are supposedly listening to God saying about Y2K? I heard nothing. Did you? Did you hear any preacher say, prepare? Because Y2K is the start of the end. I didn't hear nothing like that. I did hear a couple of people say, the end of the earth is coming. And then, you know, I thought, well, right. You know, if you ever read the Bible? How do you know that? So what we do look, what we can see, don't be listening to people saying, this is the day. This is the season. This is the season. And the season is, our season is to what? Prepare. We don't know the day or the hour, but we can watch and we can predict the season of time that things are happening. And all I can say is, your pastor, things are happening. Watch for yourself. Don't believe me. Do your own research. Look. Do some looking. Take a look. Look what's going on in our world today. Watch. Look at the United States, for Pete's sake. Look. It is amazing what's going on. In fact, I was looking yesterday. I was on the internet. Somebody sent me an email, and it was on what was going on in this college, that they opened the college up for a satanic ritual, a mass, a dark mass. Did you guys read about that? And it's like the leaders of the church or the college were going, wait a minute, we can't have this. They were going, hey, well, you can have Muslims come on and talk, and you can have all these other religions. What about us? We're Satanists. We have our rights. And by gollies, we're going to be doing this. And they couldn't stop them. Thousands of people come to this mass, this dark mass that they had for Satan, and openly said, I worship and follow Satan. Openly, thousands. When in history have you ever seen anything like that? Ever? It's been hidden. People have followed Satan, and they've done it in their own little secret way. But now, homosexuality is wide open. It's all good. The Bible says not good. The Satan worshipers, hey, whatever. They can do their thing. I mean, it's a free place, right? And it's going on right in our world. All I can say is, when you see these things happening, guess what? How God feels about all this. babies being killed off by the billions. What's God going to do, you guys? If that stuff bothers him, how long is he going to put up with it? How long is he going to allow this to happen? If you look at Scripture, you look at history, you're going to find out that in Noah's day, Sodom and Gomorrah, in those days, God put up with so much, and he did. He loves his people. But he will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. He is God. And we can't allow this to continue. And so we're living in those days. And whether you want to believe it or not, open your eyes, take a look around, and see what's going on in our time. And you'll see very clearly that the leaves are blooming on that fig tree. And it's happening. It's at hand. It's at hand. Never before in history. And these days that are coming, people are like no other day in the history of mankind, the Bible says. And so Hebrews talks about that, that the ark was for them. And then, and if we would just kind of go with me, let's go to 1 Peter 3. Just keep going backwards. Hebrews and the book of James, 1 and 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 20 and 21. And it says this: who once were disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark. He's patiently waiting. The Lord's patiently waiting, people. Patiently waiting during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Let me tell you something. And I know that lots of pastors don't want to do this and say this because they want to be, looked at like, oh, everybody's going to be saved. All of you guys are welcome. Come. Come in. And that's a great thing. But the reality, the truth is this. Few people will find the way. The Bible says few. And so if you see a drove of people moving in a direction and say, yep, we found the way, I would say be careful. Because the Bible says few are going to find this way. Few will enter. So when we see our salvation is drawing near, there's going to be a rude awakening about who is a real true follower of Christ and who is just confessing to be a follower of Christ. Who is really on the ark? Who is on the ark? Here, eight people made it out of the whole world. Eight. Eight. Interesting, isn't it? How he correlates it back to that. Knowing who we are in Christ is not everybody happy, climb on the boat, pretty, fun, haha. We're all in. Joy, joy. We're all going to heaven. Row, row, row your boat. Gently down the stream. Merrily, merrily, merrily. Life is just a dream. That's not the case. And until we understand the truth, we're not going to get it. That this life is more to, there's more to life than just gently going down the stream with everybody else. We're all good. We're all good. We're many ways to heaven. Do what you want. You'll get there. Really? Is that what the Bible says? No. In fact, he's warning us. He says there are only a few people made it on the boat out of all this preaching. Out of all this teaching. Out of all the understanding that we have today. Eight. Kind of an interesting correlation, I might add. And so we go back. You know, and I'm not saying this to scare anybody. Are you scared? If you're scared, then you're not on the boat. I'm not trying to scare not one person. It's up to you. Fear is not going to get you on that boat. Being scared is not going to get you to jump on. truth is truth, and lots of people have been told truth, but they choose to go their own way. It's a choice. And listen, there's many choices. Many. And some of us make good choices, some of us make bad choices, and even today, listen, I got to tell you, some of us make some choices that aren't very good. And the Bible declares that. In fact, your righteousness to the Lord is like filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. So being righteous and good's not going to get you on the boat. You're going to fail. The question is, when you do fail, which way do you go? Do you give up and quit and go backwards, or do you move forward? And there's the question. And lots of people do quit. They come up to that place of the difficulties of walking out a Christian life, and the enemy's pounding, and he's beating on you, and he's tearing at you. And relationships go bad. Marriages go bad. Your children are not doing well. There's many, many things that just pound and 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 pound right up into the day you die. The question is, what are you doing with all of that? Are you surrendering to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going through a difficult time. This is hard for me. And he's saying, yes, I know, son. It was hard for me. They beat me and did the same to me. The world rejected me. And I told you, this is Jesus speaking to his people. He said, I forewarned you, I told you, if you follow me, they're going to reject you too. The enemy's coming after you. He wants you. He wants you to quit. He wants you to stop. He wants you to back up. He wants you to give up. And peace will come, wouldn't it? Peace comes when you say, no, God, I'm tired. Why are you doing this to me? Is God doing this to you? No. It's a perception. It's a deception. Who is doing this to you? What, if you guys could figure out who's doing this to you, wouldn't it be an aha moment and go, okay, now I know who I'm fighting? Is it God that you're fighting because he's allowing these things to happen to you? No, it's been since time began. The truth is, we have an adversary. And until you understand that we have an adversary and he is out to steal, kill, and destroy you, and the battle is all right here in the mind, it's who are you fighting? And if you blame God for the bad things that are happening, then you're not going to get very far. Listen, you step out and do something God's called you to do, and guess what? Is it going to be all peaches and cream? In-state students, how fun is it? Huh? It's tough. And no one said it was going to be easy. You guys get on the boat, and all hell breaks loose, right? All of a sudden, you got no time to study. Who do you think's in control of that? Who do you think's trying to stop you? Interesting. And the Bible is clear. If we have eyes to see, and he shows us very clearly who we're fighting and what the adversary looks like and what he's trying to do and what's going on in our world. Who's behind all that? And yet we kind of have this perception as Christians is that we can, you know, sit down, relax, and God will take care of it all. It's all good. We're in. We're saved. Life is good, and we're in this tiny little bubble. Well, all I can say is, if please show me in Scripture where that was the case for people. Was it the case for anybody in Scripture? Show me one, just one person that went through their life unscathed by the world. Just one. No? None? I haven't found it either. It's not there. You think it's going to be the same for you? Of course it is. There's going to be stuff. Why? Because what did Paul say? Why? Because it buffets us to know who we're fighting, know why we're here. No, this isn't just a free ride. This isn't joy, joy, joy. This isn't row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, merrily. Yeah, there's merrily times, but it's only because our relationship with God and our reality of who he is and us and what we're supposed to be doing. And there's joy and peace in that, because there's no peace anywhere else. In this world, we will have tribulation. And so we see Jesus is very clear to us and I don't remember where I left off. Verse 21. Oh, and Peter. Well, I'll read 20. Do I need to read 21? Did I miss reading 21 in Peter? Is it pertinent for me to read that? Let me look at it just in case. Or somebody got it. Read it.
And corresponding to that, now saves you not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but the appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Okay, did you guys all hear that? That was very pertinent because I missed that part. The part, an understanding of what he was correlating to was that the safety was the ark, and in that he was saying, guess who? Where our safety comes? Jesus Christ. Our salvation comes through Christ alone. Nobody else and nothing else. And so all your good deeds isn't going to get you to heaven, right? It's the reality of your relationship with Jesus and knowing that you're going to keep moving toward his call in your life. However difficult, however hard, you're going to continue to move forward. Because listen, if you start moving backwards, if you stop and say, this is too hard for me, then the peace will come. And you'll go, oh, I feel better now. Life is going to be easier. And your prayer life quits. Your relationship with God quits. You don't have any difficulty in your life because the enemy knows if you're all good and there's no problems, you're going to stay right there. So you stop praying. You stop helping people. You stop coming to church. You stop getting involved. You go to work every day. You come home, you eat, and you sleep, and then you go through your life, and then you die. And it's all peaceful. It's all good. And then you stand before the Lord, and the Lord says, what did you do with your life? You go, well, I ate, and I slept, and I went to work every day. I fed my family, and then I died. Well, that was wonderful. What did you do with what I asked you to do? Well, I didn't do anything, because when I did that, things got hard. And you know, I'm not into hard stuff. You know, it's kind of difficult. And when it was difficult, I just wanted to quit, so I quit. And it was good. And the Lord said, well, but what did you do for me? What did you do with the gift that I give you? Well, what gift, Lord? Well, you didn't ever find your gift? Nope. Why? I was busy working. That was my gift. I'm really good at running equipment, Lord. I can run anything with tracks and wheels. And Jesus says, we don't have any of that here. That's like the guy that brought his suitcase up to Peter, and he says, what do you got there? He says, all my worldly treasures here in my suitcase. He said, well, what is it? It's gold. Oh, you're bringing pavement to heaven. Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Verse 41. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have been on the what? Alert, and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be what? Ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you don't think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom the master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkenness, the master of that slave will come on a day when he doesn't expect him, and at an hour which he doesn't know, and will cut him in pieces, and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus is very, very clear. I mean, I don't know how there can be any gray area in that at all. And how people can say, Oh, God won't punish people. Well, if you want to believe that, that's pretty easy to swallow. It would be nice to think that. But hasn't God done everything to proclaim to you what to do so that you won't find yourself swimming behind the boat saying, "Open the door, let me in, I'm drowning." And it was too late. The door had already been shut. That day is coming once again. He said, just like those days, and you guys have read the story since you were a child. You've read the story. Your Sunday school teacher taught it to you. And now we're adults. What does this story look like as an adult? Is it a kid's story? Is it a fable? Something that didn't happen? It happened. It happened, and it's going to happen again. And we, as God's people, need to understand how God sees this. And yeah, you guys are going through a lot of difficult times. I know that. I know you. We're living in difficult times. We've lived in difficult times for a while. Even with all the blessings that we have, we're still living in difficult times. Not physical times, but spiritual times. We're living in the darkest spiritual times and since the planet began. Why? Because lawlessness and evil is increasing. Evil's increasing and righteousness is decreasing, just like in the days of Noah. People are quitting, leaving the church, leaving their marriages, leaving their children. For what? For a peaceful life? For a life without struggles? Is it worth it? When the end comes, when it comes, is it worth it to quit? To stop when the going gets tough? The tough are supposed to get going, but around here, it seems like in our world today, when the going gets tough, people try to find peace. And all kinds of things. Alcohol, drugs. And they just quit. And I'll tell you, it saddens the Lord's heart, doesn't it? What do you think when you see somebody give up? What's the first thing you think of? There goes another one. I hope they make it. I hope somebody goes and helps them out or does something or be there for them. Or maybe it's, boy, they deserve it. They weren't worth anything anyway. I don't know. But I know this, that God's challenged us to do what? Live and share it. Live and share it. Live and share it. And if we're not living it, we can't share it. If we're like the world, we're not going to be any different, are we? I did the celebration of life for Mary yesterday, and the interesting thing to that is what I found out when I do these things, and people in general think about their life when someone's died or they're ready to die. Is that the time to be thinking about what you should have done? Or is it now? Is now the time? Is it today is the day of your salvation? Today. Not when you've already lived your life and you're 70-some years old and you've looked back and went, whoa, if only I could have done something different. I don't know, all of us, there's not a person in this room that don't challenge that thought. And so the Lord has come to share his life and to give us truth and to give us abundant life if we choose to follow the truth. Well, what does abundant life look like? Is abundant life a life with no issues? Is that what God was talking about? No. Abundant life is life with Christ, period. Your life with him in relationship, and take each day for a day, because tomorrow has enough for itself. Stop looking at the past. Stop going back there and go, oh man, my life's a wreck. I did all these bad things. No one likes me. I might go eat worms. If everybody knew what I did, they wouldn't like me. Well, is that true? All of us have a past. all of us, every one of us. And there's some things in every one of our lives that we would go, okay, if I had to do that again, I'd definitely do it different. But we can't change the past, can we? It's happened. It's done. It's over. All we can do is look toward the future and how we live our lives with the Lord and with the circumstances that come our way. And there will be many. There'll be financial issues. There'll be marital issues. There'll be family issues. There'll be physical struggles. There'll be work struggles. There'll be relationship struggles. There'll be different things that come your way. And when they do, when they come your way, and they will, the question is, what are you going to do with them? Are you going to allow those things and all those whispers to take you and go, I'm done. I've had enough. I'm out of here. I just want to be left alone. How many of you guys have said that? Just want to be left alone. Leave me alone. I'm done. How'd that work for you? Something about that just doesn't seem to work. I wished it did, but it doesn't. Why? Because things chase you. And the only way you can do it is to head on, straight on. Okay, come what may, but I'm going to look to the Lord and be on the ark. That's what I'm going to do. I have no other choice. There is no other way. There is no other way. And as your pastor, I got to tell you, there's many times when David said, I'd sure like to be done. And I found this. There's no other way. You can't quit. And if you did, you're saying no to God. And I don't want to do that. So guess what my other option is? Get closer to God and hang in there. Get on the boat. And the storms will rage and the floods will come. And you're just going to be out there corking around on your little boat. Well, and the Lord will be right with you. In fact, he made a comment with Peter when they were all out there and the storms of life were coming their way. Remember? Guess what Jesus told Peter? He said, come to me. Come right out here in that storm. It's all good. Guess what happened? He said, okay. He jumped out there, started to walk on the water, and he took his eyes off Jesus. And what happened? Down he went. That's the thing. Jesus says, don't take your eyes off me, no matter what the storm looks like. The storm could be ugly, and you might think you're going to die. And guess what? Possible. You could die. If you do die, is that going to be a bad thing for you or a good thing for you? If you are on the boat, death, where is your sting? You go from glory to glory. If you're on the boat, if you're not, you got something to be afraid about. You're going to drown and it's going to be bad. But if you're doing the right things in the storms of life, right, and it takes your life, you're blessed. You're blessed. So what do you got to lose? That would be my question. What do you got to lose? Nothing. You got everything to gain by staying on the boat. Right? Get on the boat, stay on it. Don't jump off. Even if you see land, it might be an illusion. Stay on the boat and stay with it. Don't quit. Don't give up. So we thought, you know, this is a great message for Mother's Day, isn't it? And I think about that. I thought about that when I was looking at this word. But you know what the mother's heart is? To protect, right? To nurture. That's the mother's heart. To protect, to nurture, to raise up, to do everything they can to do what's good for the ones that they're teaching, the one their children. And isn't that what God does? He wants to protect and nurture you and draw you close. He doesn't want anybody to be lost in this. Therefore, he gives us the truth. He gives us the word. And he shows us what's going to happen, but fear not. Don't be afraid. In fact, we live in the most exciting times in history. And I know this, if the apostles and the prophets could trade places with us, they'd do it in a second. They'd go, let me have another shot at it. In fact, they're up there interceding for you and me. They're praying for us. They're praying that we would do what God has called us to do. And they're praying. I mean, I'm telling you, they know. They're with the Father. And Jesus is praying for you. That you would see it and that you would hang in there, that you wouldn't quit, that you wouldn't give up. Stay with it right to the end. And then when you stand before the Father, guess what you're going to hear? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. So those of you who are thinking, if I just could quit, I'd get my rest. Got news for you. You ain't going to get any, and there is no retirement in the kingdom of heaven. There isn't. You can't just quit. You can't retire. I'd like to. Go fishing. I just want to go fishing. That's what Peter did. Jesus left him. And I'm going to wrap it up. I know you guys are getting droopy on me. What happened when Jesus died and it just shocked Peter? First of all, he denied him, right? He tried to get off the boat, tried to get away from it, saying, no, I don't know that guy. Don't kill me like you did him. That was ugly. And he denied him three times, and then he got filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came. Jesus said, that's what he's given us. We have that. And so the Holy Spirit comes and strengthens you not to quit. And from that moment on, Peter walked in his life, not being perfect, but he certainly knew the truth, and he kept walking. He kept going. And every one of the disciples all died for their faith. Everyone. And if you're a disciple of Christ, you're going to end up dying for your faith sooner or later. Right? Even if there's no thing like they went through, you're going to come to a day when you will die, and you will die with faith or without it. Right? With it or without it, you're going to still die. But the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God without it. And he said, blessed are those who don't see with their eyes, but they see with their spirit and they believe and they walk. That's us. We see by faith. Faith is what keeps us going. Faith in the truth of knowing what we know beyond any shadow of a doubt, that this thing right here is a truth. It's the truth. God would not lie to us, and he wouldn't send us this. And no man wrote this. Yeah, they penned it, but the Holy Spirit wrote it. I challenge you. There is not a man on planet Earth since time began that would write such things. Why? Because men are selfish. It's all about them. And this is all about you and what he did for you so that you could make it. The man didn't write this. I challenge you. Go cover to cover, and you find me a man that does this stuff, and I'll show you Jesus. But until then, we have to live our life, and we have to do it in respect to who God is and who we are. And mothers, I know it's your day, and I know this was a message that was kind of a challenging one for Mother's Day when everybody else in churches are all having peaches and cream and having their little flowers. But you get the truth. And aren't you thankful? Because really, you do get peaches and flowers when you're on the boat. And you're on. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you can correlate to things in the past and show us the future. Thank you that you are in us as we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Christ, you're alive in us. And so I pray for strength for everyone here. Lord, that this word today would challenge each one of us to have faith and believe in the midst of any circumstance that comes our way or any failure that we may have made. God, you're bigger than those. And I ask, God, that you would help us to focus on you and walk in a way worthy of our calling. And then, Lord, I pray for a covering a covering, Lord, that only you can give. And God, we're so thankful for it. Holy Spirit, have your way in us this day, this Mother's Day. And I pray for wonderful fellowship through the day. And Lord, that we would truly challenge ourselves to be mindful of your presence, and that we would be walking in a way that's right before you, so that when we do stand before you, we would hear those words we all want to hear, and that's, well done, my good and faithful servant. So we love